Wednesday and Friday for free.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chami, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours. I need to tune into Eagle FM. Business Economic Segment is about to play now.
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe, and it's quite very important also. To make sure that we thank Dwight and Helmut with home run. And like any other day at this point in time, we look at business, we look at economics, and we look at issues of governance and everything which is affecting our branded butter. You know, it's the 21st of October 2025, and we're indicating to you that days are moving very well at an understandable pace. It's always been like that. We're in January, just now. We're just, you know, for those of you who write history, who do records, we just, you know, after inauguration of our first president. And we are busy with, you know, 100 days in the office. Now we are at budget review, already at, you know, midterm budget review. And we are still studying the document. We are still studying the document. But it's quite very important also to understand that Namibia is finding a balance between financial prudence and also national priorities. Very important to understand that, particularly when it's coming to issues which are developing within Namibia. When it's coming to national budget, it's very important also to at least go through, read. You don't need to be an economist for you to understand how things are going. At least you get one or two things, especially from a national, you know, midterm budget. And when you're entering a certain conversation, at least you know how things are going. Then you ask questions related to your field and also where you are coming from. Yeah, looking at international ground, you'll be able to realize that there, what's happening in France, it was indicated that the former French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, started his 5-year prison term for conspiring, raising campaign fund from Libya, and his imprisonment marked the first time as a former French leader, and there hasn't been he's making history, you know. The first time former French leader has been jailed since World War II. And you must be able to understand that people who are watching, especially international observers, they are looking at that case of, you know, Nicolas Sarkozy. Be able to realize that one of the aspects of his trial was based on him receiving funding from the late Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. During that time when Libya economy was doing very well, it was doing... And those who understand, especially that time of oil pricing booming and the time where Libya was a key player in African development, and also when Gaddafi was so powerful to that extent that funding or campaign for a European nation, it's a rare thing. And I think it's only Libya who did that. And that is one of the aspect of his, you know, trial. But that is what is happening. Yeah, for those of you who follow also, international affairs, especially what's happening around, in South Africa, the parliamentary ad hoc committee, particularly in the case of, the police minister, commissioners, and also, you know, some of the key players in, South African police system, and also the security cluster, particularly cases regarding issues of infiltration. However, it's quite very important to look at issues of accountability and where things are going. So for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Business and Economic Segment. Our conversations are always centered at bread and butter. That's why before we go to the conversation for today, it's quite very important also to look at what we offer, especially when we are always indicating to you that read, especially when it's coming to our e-paper. That is the Villager newspaper. That is our economic paper. It's coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And tomorrow, do not miss out, especially issues of mid-term budget review. How much money was ended? What are the prioritization of money ended with the budget? And how is the government doing? Because mid-term review, and one of the quite statement which was stated, and I think should not only be the aspect of the state, but everybody should be part of reviewing where you are coming from and where you are going. One of the things which was stated that is, you know, when you look at mid-term review, especially from the word of Minister of Finance herself today, it was a time to shine. It was a time to present what she has. And one of the things that we can take from there is, you know, the mid-year budget review process provide us with opportunity to improve the effectiveness of resource allocation by taking stock of collective implementation of national budget. That is something that we should take from there. But the conversation for today is actually a bit different from that, because today we are focusing on international trade, especially also to compare with other countries to say when it's coming to trade, as the past international trade balance statistics are not favorable, especially to us, looking at fluctuation of exports of commodities in Namibia, and also looking at expansion in terms of deficit, and many other factors which are involved, some which we can control, some which are out of our control, which are involved, and they are affecting the way Namibia trade is doing. We are looking at other countries, and today we are looking at Tanzania, especially on the ground that, you know, it's quite very interesting to see what is happening in Tanzania, and also between Tanzania and China, especially when it's coming to trade. But for now, let us look at a short commercial break, then we can come and look at what are some of the key priorities which is happening between these two bilateral relations, and what can we learn from there as a country and as a people.
Great news! Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting. To moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with business and economic segment. And today, our conversation is on the recent news. You can interpret it differently, and we are also trying to analyze, especially when you look at the African continent and also African development. The main conversation for today is surrounded by the development, especially when China and Tanzania intensified their trade relations. And we are also able to understand that when it's coming to records, when it's coming to records, this indicated that Tanzania received shipment of eggs from China, and is part of the agreement of intensifying the trade relations between these two countries. Now, what is very interesting, especially into this development, is to look at the population of Tanzania, and you look at key priorities of the country. We also be able also to look at when it's coming to mineral resources, what is that Tanzania has, and also what are some of the key areas that Africa should mainly prioritize, and also to see that what lesson can we learn from here, because comparing the weight and also comparing the power, especially the power of the economic power of this countries, especially China, to see, was that not supposed to be the other way around? Was that not supposed to be the other way around? Because when you are looking at the impact, particularly on global changes, you'll be able to see that when International Monetary Fund, when World Bank, when international institution, international analysis are being made, is to say, when it comes to developing world, when it's coming to developing world, they must make sure that they advance the way they sell their raw materials. But my question is always here, when and I do not have a problem with any trade relations. I just from curiosity to say, is this where we are standing after more than 60 years of independence, particularly when you put it in the context of Africa? Because Tanzania, you look at Tanzania, country of a population of around 66 million people, and it's a country which has been at the center of African liberations. We'll be able to understand that that time it was known as Tanganyika, and it was a consolidation power, especially to those liberation movement of that time. Talk about the ZANU-PF, talk about the Frelimo, SWAPO, ANC, MPLA, and many other liberation movement of that time. And moving forward, look at the industrialization, what Tanzania has been also championing, especially during the time of the late president John Pombe Magufuli, when he was expanding the airports, was expanding the railways, and also he was putting on a plane, and he was not as a bulldozer on that ground, because when he enter a project, he will not go anywhere without seeing the final conclusion of that project. Now, my question is always here to say, now, when a shipment of around 35,000 white feathered broiler hatching eggs depart from Yunnan province on Friday to Tanzania, what is this telling us about us Africans? Are we really at that point in the shortage of food at that point to allow the food to cross borders, to cross around various oceans to reach Africa? Are we really at that point? After more than 60 years of African independence, are we really at that point? And what is this saying about where Africa want to go? Because it's one thing to feed your people, it's also the other thing to be sustainable in feeding your people. Now, this trade relation is a very good trade relations, because these two countries are both benefiting from each other. But the question has always been to say, in terms of long term sustainability, how are these things going to work out? When is Africa going to be independent in terms of food security? When is it going to be independent in terms of food security? And for how long this is going to continue? And we can also put in the context of ourselves to say, how much of poultry meat we are also importing. And what can we do about that aspect? And there was a conversation which I was having with Mr. Robbie Madira, who at one point indicated that, you know, the late Dr. Genkop, late president, made some, you know, important things to say. There must be limitations of allowing some external people to come and do business in other areas, such as salons and many others, taxi drivers and many others, to allow at least the economy to grow at that level. But here the concern is not with the benefits, the benefit between these two countries. The concern is with where we are after 60 years of African independence. It's where we are as, you know, as a continent, and also where we are as prioritizing, as a continent prioritizing to do continental integration. Because, you know, it's quite also very important also to look at this picture to say it's not only Tanzania, it's also many other countries, Namibia included, to say where are we getting our food? Who was feeding us during drought? Ask yourself that question. Who was feeding us during drought? And I do not want to preempt the discussion that we are going to have tomorrow, especially when we are going to analyze the speech of Meme Erika Shafuda, the finance minister, and in terms of governance, the advisor in chief, particularly when it's coming to financial matters and issues of priorities, and also issues of national, you know, priorities. Yeah, I do not want to preempt that conversation because we're going to look at are we doing what we are saying? How are the levels of financial allocation, and specifically on food security? What are the outputs of green schemes, and to what extent? Because one thing to have an output is the other thing to have a quality output that can be sustainable and also that can be utilized by your people at an understandable price. Now, if you are at this point, if you are at this point, Africa continue to receive food far away. What are we focusing on? That is the first question to say. What are we really focusing on? Why are we discussing about climate change when we are contributing less than 5% to the greenhouse gases? And what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? And when it comes to food security, was that not supposed to be the discussion 20 years ago, for example? Was that not supposed to be a discussion 20 years ago? People are speaking about financial technology. People are speaking about advancement in terms of AI. And I do not want to go between the trains of this country, just as to open the picture to say, if other countries can see the gap within our society, why can't we see that gap ourselves, so that, you know, we can fill that gap? Because just angst. And I understand quality angst. It could be that also technology was used to make sure that you measure the quality and the standard of that. That one I understand. But can we not do this? Was that not supposed to come from us, who we are still depending on, you know, raw materials? Now, I want us to look at what is that Tanzania has. Is it a poor country? No, it's not a poor country. Is it an upper middle income country? No, it's not an upper middle income country. Why is it going back? When it comes to diamond, Tanzania is also one of the countries, like many other countries in Africa. And in fact, there is no countries which I know in Africa that they do not have a key area, especially when it comes to natural resources that they depend on. Tanzania has gold. And gold contain 90% of export. And as you are speaking currently, gold is king now. Gold is leading. Especially when you look at gold demand in the world. When you look at the last update in terms of international trade, especially when it's coming to gold, it was standing at $4,000 per ounce. $4,000 US dollars per ounce. And you'll be able to understand that when you look at that scale, it's a historic scale, and countries which has gold, countries which are mining gold, are standing a very good chance, especially to make their trades. That's why you see even Zimbabwe, that was make a very important U-turn in terms of numbers, in terms of economy, and also in terms of gaining trust back that it had since that it had 20 years ago, before it was hit by these sanctions from international institutions, international financial institutions, World Bank, IMF, EU, and also the African Development Bank. You must be very clear to understand that when you are in trouble, even your own African Development Bank can also sanction you, because the money that they are using is not their money. The money that they are using, the African Development Bank also depends on funding from the external world. The operation of AU does not depend entirely on African budget. Must be able to understand that, and to know that when you are in trouble, when you are sanctioned, even your own institution within your continent can also be able to sanction you. Now, the other aspect is also when you look at Tanzania, it's a lower middle income country, the same as Namibia, the same as Zimbabwe, the same as many other countries in Africa. And you also need to look at the bilateral trade volume, especially of 2024, between Tanzania and China, which is at $8.88 billion. It's a lot of money. Then the question you need to ask yourself is that at what level of relationship, and also at what quality of commodities being sent out of Tanzania, and what qualities of commodities being sent, or being received in the country. So let us look at the short commercial break. Then we continue with the business and economic segment. So yeah, that is what's happening. That is what's happening. Let's look at Imba. Then we continue.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat. Oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plan. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt, und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chami, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Business and Economic Segment. It's 32 minutes past the hour of 6. And we are here until the hour of 1900 hours, that is 7 in the early evening. However, you can be able to give your opinion, you give your view, and you can ask your question and give your contribution, particularly when it's coming to issues of trade and also what is happening. Because you can communicate with us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. As I've always been asking to say, look around you, check your flat, check your house, check what you are wearing, and ask yourself a question. Where are these things coming from? How many kilometers they travel to reach me? And where are the products which I have made? Where are the products which my cousin have made? Where are the products which, you know, other Namibians have made? When you are looking at the world, are we just the receiver of everything from food to clothes? And when are we going to get an opportunity? When are we going to get time also to stand on our own and also to sell real products? Because offering raw material, offering a whole product that you only know a value of a whole product would continue to put us behind. Will continue to put us behind, because when you look at global predictions, when you look at global prediction, and you also looking at either is global outlook or domestic outlook, must be able to understand that as we have always been discussing, especially on the ground of you know, external forces are always going to be there. Then I want you to take time and ask yourself a question. Put African continent, particularly the state of Africa, those who are leading in terms of mineral resources, then you just do a study, an ordinary study, to say how many of these countries have improved in the past 10 years. How many of these countries have added values to their products? Who own these companies, and how are these you know, how are these countries progressing in terms of you know, value addition, in terms of strengthening their revenue? Because when you look at our discussion, when you look at our aim, when you look at our priorities, and when you look at, for example, at the speech of our finance minister, I was trying to look at things. Maybe I did not say it. Things to come out, especially when it's coming to priority areas of, you know, when we're speaking so strongly about mineral beneficiation, what are some of the key priority areas? Maybe it's still there. Maybe it's still, coming out. And also, are we just going to continue speaking about it? Or we are yet, to see that, coming? So when you put those, countries on the scale, you'll be able to understand that, whatever happened around the world, it has a direct impact of the trade of these countries. And and ask yourself the question to say, how many countries are sending minerals to Africa? How many countries are sending minerals to Africa? How many of them? Just mention one. Minerals to Africa, other than finished products. And you must also, when you are looking at these things, you must also compare yourself or compare these countries. Namibia is not an exclusion with where these countries want to go. Take the report of SDG analysis of Africa to say how many of the African countries have reached their SDGs. How many of countries of Africa, at what percentage have you know, African countries moved toward realization and achievement of their SDGs? 7 SDGs. And when we are speaking very well about them, especially, I like reading a few policies, especially government policies. Even think tanks, they, especially when they are drafting, you know, national documents, they make sure that they put that to say, this is our direction from a global perspective. This is our direction at the continental level. This is where we want to go. There's always SDGs. But, have you realized that when you are analyzing SDGs, compared to where we are coming from. Look at, I don't want you to look at only Namibia, but when you are looking at Namibia, the only aspect which I can, the only aspect which I can indicate that Namibia did very well, and we must be proud of that, is the SDG, which has to do with gender equality. That's the only aspect which I can see. That one, we did it very well with gender equality. That one, Namibia, we did very well, and that is the only aspect that we can say when it comes to when it's come to issues of hunger, when it's coming to issues of angers, when it's coming to, you know, issues of quality education, it's DG4. I think we still have to go and evaluate. We still need to go and evaluate and see what did we do right when it's coming to good health and well-being. That one, although the reports are contradicting each other, especially when it comes to Namibia health sector, especially the debate about, you know, the ongoing reports on, what is happening in Namibia, especially on the infectious disease, which is being suspected to be in Namibia, and there are also records, especially when it's coming to pox. Numbers may be not correct, but the fact of the matter is that we are still struggling to respond to emergency diseases. And the question has always been on the table to say, are we able as a country, are we able to sustain another how ready are we to deal with another pandemic if things happen like that? How ready are we? How ready are we to deal with another pandemic, especially when you are looking at the Namibia health system? The doctor is very busy, and she needs assistance and also support, because for us to move forward, we must be real on the ground. We must be real, because we cannot be happy cornering the Minister of Health and want her to fail, because remember that health is one of the key value of a human being, because if you don't have it, you can have money, but if you do not have health, you are out and you are defeated. That's why when it's coming to health sector, everybody should make sure that in that line, we don't compromise on it. When it's coming to health sector, either it's academia, either it's research, on that line, we don't need to compromise on it. When it's coming to no poverty, number one, it's coming to no poverty, SDG1, I do not think, you know, we should discuss about that, because we still did not reach that. Gender equality there, we are fine. Affordable clean energy, still not yet there. Decent work and economic growth there, we are not yet there. A reduction of inequality, there we are the king of inequality in the world. We are at the top two, and nobody can catch us for now. But that is something that we should look at, because if we are not looking at that, we are not going to move forward. We are not going to move forward. But the center of the conversation, is how do we turn the table? How do we turn the table? The main discussion, and the discussion that we are always encouraging, and the discussion that should always come out, especially the how, is how should we strengthen the economy, and also how should we make sure that not only Namibians but Africans too, that they are practical, participants in economic development. Not only in terms of us speaking about the economy, but real issues, especially on issues of policies. Because the discussion did not change. The time have changed. And the demand is timely. And the demand is timely to say, how can Namibians use legal or use the law to gain, the means of production, and also to build our country? Because when you look at how things are standing, when you look at our trade, I'm telling you to say our trades are not doing very well. They are not doing well. We have good intentions, but we are not doing well. We are still at raw material. If you see, Tanzania is receiving eggs from China, where other countries are speaking about cybersecurity equipment. Other countries are speaking about, computer system and equipment. We are still at the eating stage. We are still at the talking stage. If it was a relationship, still at the talking stage, still maybe sending each other letters or text. We are not yet at the table to say this is us. So yeah, it's a question of asking, and also when we must change this narrative, especially when we speak other countries from a distance. We must change this narrative to say, when Zimbabwe was suffering hunger, poverty, lack of infrastructure, where the, you know, hospitals, pharmacies were empty, when international and continental sanctions were at their peaks in Zimbabwe. What lesson have we learned from there? What lesson have we learned from there? When the economy of Zambia almost collapsed in the early 1990s due to structural adjustment, due to a lot of external advisors on how to spend, how to structure our governance, what have we learned from there as Namibia? What have we learned from there? When, particularly this year, when we are reclassified, when we are, downgraded, although it's a debate to say it's not a downgraded, it was expected, but the fact of the matter is that we are not happy. Because it's like you were in grade 5. Somebody say, no, you must be in grade, you must go back to grade 4. Then you can say, no, yeah, it's fine. I'm not shocked I should go back to grade 4 because I also did not have a very good understanding. But the fact of the matter is that when you are downgraded, nobody will be happy with being downgraded. Even if people are saying it's a very good thing. I don't think there is happiness in being downgraded. You are downgraded because you are not doing very well. Because of things which I do not want to say they are not within your control, because when economists were writing in 2005 about letters and value, and these things, we are not only speaking about them in general. Go and read articles about Namibian economy, key priorities and primary industries, the key drivers of Namibia GDP, the key drivers of Namibia revenue. Go and read from 2005. What were the economists saying? Go and read from 2010. Go and read after Namibia was put in that category of upper middle income. Go and read even the speeches of the president by that time. Go and read. What was he saying about that classification? What we needed to do then? And what are we doing now? And what are we investing in that aspect, particularly looking at long term? Or we are also still going to wait to get eggs, and also vegetable traveling distances. Why can't we trade as equal partners? If it's minerals at the product level, let us meet each other there. If it's mineral at the product level, let us meet each other there. If it's, it's fish, let us meet each other at an international level. Because what Duma Boko and his government doing, they admit that being the second largest producer of diamond in the world does not mean that your economy is going to grow unless you own the means of production, unless you add value to your product, unless you drive key priority areas, not only as a shareholder, but the main shareholder and the decision maker. Just think about it. Think about it this way. Somebody is in your house. Yes, maybe he's wealthy, but he's controlling 90% of the areas. No, you and your wife, you are just going to walk from this distance to this distance. Your kids must use this way, but all this path, it's me who is in charge. And are you calling that your house? Yes, only by the name. But in terms of who is calling the shots, in terms of who has the resources, you are far from, you are far from, you know, you are far from from owning it. You know, today I was actually reading the biography, you know, so looking at the documentary of the late Raila Odinga. Look at the twisting and complication of, you know, the politics of Kenya. It was very interesting to read about the men. But one thing which stood out is no matter the circumstances of the dynamics of politics, if the economy is not handled properly, if the economy is not dealt with properly, the life of an ordinary person, the lives of the downtrodden, and the lives of the needy will not change. We'll still complain about water. So I remember that time when we were young, although we are still young, listening to Mayareko Chiwana and many other, programs by that time. We're able to listen and also think about people complaining about water. No, there is no tap water in this area. There is no water. There is no electricity. And many years ago, we are still here. We are still speaking about the same thing. We are still speaking about electrification, 70% electrification of Namibian household by 2030. Then after electrification, we must also ask the questions of affordability. How are you going to deal with the aspect of affordability? And what has changed between 2000 and 2001 and 2025? And at what pace? At what pace? Because one thing, especially the more I'm saying I do not want to dwell into tomorrow's conversation, the more I want to reference, the speech for today, especially the mid-year budget review, to say, no, look, when you look at capital projects, they are very slow. They are moving at a very slow rate. That's why, you know, Treasury has to re-strategize, realigning, reallocating money to say, let us put the money where they are key priorities. But yeah, it's 10 minutes before the hour of 1900 hours, and you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And today we are speaking about African development, especially using Tanzania as a case study, referencing the news of shipment from China to Tanzania, especially when it comes to, you know, hatching eggs. 35,000 white feathered broiler hatching eggs to Tanzania, to say at what level, at what rate our traits are, and is it really the country in an emergency, or is just part of the supplementary trade? And what can we do not only to be used as a case study when things are not doing well, but to be a player on a global stage, particularly looking at Namibia? Because do not think, with greater respect, is that do not think we are different, completely different from other countries in the world. When you are viewing Ethiopia, for example, when you are viewing Central Africa, when you are viewing Guinea-Bissau, Guinea-Conakry, and many other countries, in the same way they are viewing us, when they are studying development studies in Kenya, or in Nigeria, they are using case studies of Namibia, the way you are using case studies of other countries when you are at university. Do not think you are not. And I just want to bring that perspective to say, when we are speaking about Guinea-Bissau, we are speaking about the Gabon, small countries living in poverty. The way they are studying inequality in their economic class in Kenya, they are looking at Namibia to say, when you look at income inequality, there is a country like Namibia in Southern Africa. Picture yourself at that perspective. And they are also giving recommendation to say, man, this country is very rich in natural resources, it's very powerful, there's uranium, but when it comes to trade balance, it's not balancing. And it's also, a country which still struggling to add value to its natural resources, although when you look at the green energy, still prioritized in terms of fundings, but you know, what is it doing? they are studying us the way we study them. The way we are using Singapore is a positive case study. I don't know at what level we are being used as a positive case study, maybe in terms of peace and gender equality. But the fact of the matter remains, the discussion should still continue about what is that need to be done, and also how. The how question is very important. The how matters, because discussion about the problem has been at the center of all the discussions. To say the problem, we understand we have a problem, we have poverty, we have inequality, we have youth unemployment, we have a lot of proletarian and fewer bourgeoisie, the owners of the means of production, and we need to make sure that bridging that gap need intensive, clear strategy, and also strengthened governance institution, not only from the state, but governance institution across sectors. From speak about the state, speak about state institutions, speak about NGOs, speak about faith-based institutions, especially, you know, NGOs and other faith-based institutions. That is where we don't go there and analyze issues, because there is a limitation in terms of the human thinking. You say, no, you cannot analyze faith-based institution governance. You cannot analyze, NGOs, because those are, they are watchdogs of the state. But are these people different from other people? If, and I want to say this with much respect, not attacking any person, if certain pastor is not able to present his budget, a balanced budget, how are the people going to understand the issue of accountability from that perspective? If an NGO is not presenting its budget, how do you expect, why are you cornering somebody to present, why do you want only one institution, because to present their balanced or unqualified audit? But it's a question of self-introspection, especially when we are speaking about what need to be done, what conversation should we enter into. So yeah, we are also looking at the discussion, especially the discussion which is related to global event discussion that is related to what is happening around the world, especially when you are looking at countries realigning themselves, countries looking for different ventures in terms of trade, and also countries changing friends and partners because of survival. Because the prediction of international institutions and also continental institutions are indicating that although there's an expectation of the global economy to pick up by 2026, that is not guaranteed. It depends on how resilient, because the main important word here is the resilient. How resilient is the developing world? How resilient are developing worlds? How are not only African countries, those countries which are at the edge of international development, how strong are they? How strong are their fiscal policies? How are their financial system? How is the inflow and the outflow of money? How is your tax system? And how is your social welfare system? And how, the most important thing is, how is your trade system? Because it's only through trade where you can call the shots. It's only through trade where you can develop it. It's only through trades where you don't only make money, but you make strategic trade partners that can assist you in developing your country, because you can also trade in terms of human capital, and you must differentiate the human capital from human trafficking, because they are all human, but different process and different intention. So dear listeners, we have around 1 minute before we come to the end of our conversation. And before we come to the end of our conversation, I want you to ask yourself this question. You to ask yourself these questions to say, when you are saying you don't want to get involved into national issues, when you are saying you don't want to get involved into politics, are you happy with where you are, and how can you change smaller things within your control? Either it's at your section level, at your branch level, at your constituency level, at within the institution, within the part that within the institution that you are associated with, whether it's a political party, whether it's a football team. How do we change things that are not right, especially things that are related to human development? How do we change the thinking? Because things, when you have data and you have numbers, you realize that numbers, they do not have emotions, but they are telling you what it is. And things are not the way, we're supposed to be. And everybody's realizing that, even leaders realizing that. That's why it's time for us to move away from ordinary conversations of who was eating the eggs of, I am not saying actually it's not a very important conversation. I'm not supporting that that aspect, but priority issues matters. They are important issues, but they are priorities that you cannot live without speaking about. So yeah, let's go and let us read the speech of the finance minister. Let us update ourselves. Let us ask questions. Let those who understand finance to simplify for us. Let also, because one granny was asking to say, no, I'm just waiting for the promise which was made to me, especially regarding, extension or regarding addition of funds, especially regarding addition of pension funds. But those who understand finance must be able so to explain, to say, what is the budget review all about? What is the aim of mid-year budget review? And also, what can be done moving forward? Yeah, dear listeners, we come to the end of our conversation. And I'm going to leave you in the hands of Uncle Fly. In the hands of Uncle Fly. And Tate Kauluma will take you through with Omtuma. But from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and see you around.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Inner
Want to know
staff.
About Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumbi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Sweet, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.